Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Faith to Go podcast, your one-stop shop for everything you need to have faith discussions throughout your week with your friends and with your family. My name is David Tremaine, and I'm a congregational consultant with Troubling the Waters.
And I'm Charlotte Pressler, and I'm the Director of Formation for the Episcopal Diocese of San Diego.
And welcome back, you wonderful, wonderful people. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. We're excited to talk about the gospel for this upcoming Sunday. Jesus talking about vines and branches. This Sunday is going to be April 28th, the fifth Sunday in Easter. We're excited to talk about it, but before we talk about this Sunday in Easter, we have to go way back in the way back machine because we have a God sighting. Because we recorded some, by we, I mean Greg and Charlotte.
Correct.
The collective we recorded some God sightings from the renewal of vows back in Holy Week. So we're going to go back in time to 2 months ago, Charlotte. And a less fully formed version of Charlotte, you know?
It wasn't
right
quite
today,
2 months ago.
Today you are the most fully formed version of yourself you've ever been.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe. Maybe I'm in a broken place today.
Still.
Maybe I'm freshly pruned.
There you go. Still forming.
Spoiler alert, we're talking about that in the gospel today.
Anyway, whichever version of you it was, we're going to go back 6 weeks or whatever and listen to a God sighting from Hannah Wilder, the all-star, the reverend, and take it away past Charlotte and past Hannah.
Hannah, thanks for being here today.
And I'm so happy to be here as a Faith to Go all-star, you know?
I was going to say, and I know you're a Faith to Go all-star, but in this Holy Week, would you share with people like a little bit about what's going on with you? What's going on in your ministry?
I'd be honored to. You know, Cindy Dodson at St. Mary's Ramona has been instrumental in starting a ministry where we make sandwiches and brown bag lunches every Friday. And our little church of 30 to 40 people on Sunday makes about 200 sack lunches every Friday and delivers them to our fellow Episcopalians and volunteers who then deliver them to people that are hungry at the border and at the airport, that are seeking asylum, that are here seeking refuge. And I'm so proud of our group that volunteers and shares God's love in a tangible way.
Because this is Holy Week and that normally happens on a Friday, will you be doing that on Good Friday?
Yes, we are going to continue doing it on Good Friday because people continue to be in need. And Jesus, if we look at the way he lived his life, he fed people, he met with people, he ate with people. That is where he connected with people the most, I would say, is over a meal.
Yeah.
And so we think that's really important and that who we are as Christians is enhanced by serving others.
What a sacred and holy way to spend that day.
Amen.
Is there a place that you have seen or felt God's presence in the last week or so?
So many places, absolutely. And I would just say we just finished our renewal of vows service here in St. Paul's Cathedral, which is a sacred place for me personally. It's my spiritual home. It's where my wife and I were married, and it's where I was formed as an Episcopalian. Mm. And it was actually when the Reverend Canon Brooks Mason was reading the gospel. I just had this powerful moment of being transported to the many years and many Sundays I sat in this sanctuary and felt God's presence move and kindle in my heart the call to move forward with ordination and just all the things, you know. It's just such a sacred place for me. I very much felt God's presence, and always in the singing, in the worship service. I mean, every worship service, but like especially at the cathedral, it's just glorious, you know. Well, I sat next to Douglas Worthington, who's the rector of All Souls, and he's a great singer.
Oh, well, I didn't know that about Douglas.
But actually, I don't want that word to get out because I like to sit next to him. So.
And he was just on the podcast.
Oh, I love Douglas.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Hannah. Thanks for sharing that. And it's so important to like have those moments that call us back to how we were formed. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you for asking.
All right. That was great.
Yeah. Wasn't it great? And I love the invitation in that for all of us to... It was more than fine, David.
It was more than fine.
But I love the invitation in that for all of us to think about those places in which we were formed, naming that we are never fully formed, that there is always things that are changing and inviting us into deeper relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an opportunity for us as listeners and podcast hosts to think back to those formative experiences in our own life.
Yeah. And they're still happening. You know, we're all discerning all the time what our vocation is and how it will manifest in the world. Speaking for myself, and I think most people, even when we're doing the thing we love, we're still navigating what it means to do that thing tomorrow and the next day and forever.
Actually, I have lots of conversations with my own children and young people that I'm in relationship with mm-hmm. about like what you decide on right now does not have to be forever.
Yeah.
I wish I had known that when I was in my 20s because I for sure did not.
Yeah.
But the reality is we are constantly changing, constantly evolving. Yeah. I think I'm on the 39th version of myself at this point. Maybe more. Could be
true. Most fully formed.
Yeah.
But still 39th. And there will be a 40th.
Yes, yeah. Correct. But just that invitation that like we aren't stagnant. We change.
No. Absolutely. And that's why Jesus is always using nature metaphors for things because nature is always changing. The vines are always growing. They have a life cycle, you know. Our whole spiritual life is a cycle. So it's not just this like upward trajectory. So maybe I take it back. Maybe you're not fully formed just because it's today.
I told you.
All right. I talked myself into it and out of it. Well, let's talk about the gospel. But before we do that, we want to remind you that we always want to hear from you as well. If you've got a God sighting, if you want to share anything from your ministry context, do you have any questions or comments or stories from your week of faith discussion and reflection, you can always email us, faith2go@edsd.org. You can get in contact with us on Instagram at faith2go, where you could direct message us or tag us in a post or comment on one of our posts that we put up. Now we are going to talk about the gospel for this upcoming Sunday. Again, April 28th, 2024, Easter 5 in year B. The gospel is from John, again. This last week was from John, too.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Sprinkles. John sprinkles.
Sprinkles. Get it while you can, because as soon as we hit Pentecost, no more John. Not for a while. Not until next fall, probably. John 15, 1 through 8 is the reading. Charlotte's going to read it, and then I'll have some context. And then we'll each probably have at least one point. It's just my guess.
Yeah, could be some tangents.
Who knows?
We'll see what happens. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples.
All right, here we are, John 15. Where were we last week? 12, 13, something like that? It was another I am. This is, again, a second week of I am statements. Last week was about being the good shepherd. But we're in Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples. So Judas isn't here for this. Remember, if you remember back, all the way back in Holy Week, Judas had his feet washed and then immediately left, you know, to go meet up with the people who he was going to betray Jesus with. And so this is Jesus with 11 of the disciples talking in Jerusalem before he gets arrested, but after the foot washing and his last meal with them. So Jesus spends like 3 or 4 chapters in John getting the disciples ready for him to be gone. So this is really, Jesus gets more and more cosmic in his speaking about himself the closer he gets to his arrest. So Jesus is really talking about himself in these like big cosmic, and you know, John is writing about Jesus in these big cosmic terms. So last week was the cosmic shepherd. Jesus is now the cosmic vine, you know, using a lot of, again, this like agrarian imagery, which was something that would have connected with an agrarian culture, which is what he was in. And so this is it. So we've got a couple more chapters of farewell discourse. This is kind of smack in the middle of it. And then Jesus is arrested. So this is the second that we're hearing of the 7 I am statements in John's gospel. I am the true vine. And Charlotte should have the first point.
I do, and I am delighted at this moment because I wanted to look something up for my point, and so I was doing that while you were sharing the context.
Oh, I thought you were texting someone.
And I have a delightful reference
okay.
that will be revealed.
Okay. Things shall be revealed in the future.
Yes, and you are welcome.
You cannot know them yet.
In advance.
Yeah, that's what Jesus is saying to them right here. But you're welcome.
Yes.
In advance.
But let's start with my point instead.
Okay.
So I was thinking about the pruning that takes place
yeah.
within this section of scripture. Mm-hmm. And perhaps it is because I'm in a gardening season. I like to garden in general. Mm-hmm. And even though here in San Diego, we are blessed to be able to garden year round, there are certain garden tasks that have to happen at specific times of year, even though we have a longer growing season than many other places. And one of those is pruning. And so pruning can either be done at the beginning of the season or at the end of the season. And one of the plants that we have on our patio, I was about to say property, but it's a patio.
On our palatial estate.
Yes. On my teeny tiny patio.
Okay.
Is a fig tree that is in a pot. All my plants are in pots, but it is Tim's fig. And so Tim decided there were a couple of low branches growing off the stalk, and the low branches are often called suckers because they pull nutrients from the main part of the tree and they restrict its ability to fruit as well as it possibly could. And so it's important to prune those, to trim those from it in order that the tree might produce the maximum amount of fruit. And so Tim did. Mm-hmm. And
Timmy cut off the suckers.
You were waiting.
Is that what you're telling me?
I feel like we have to, whenever we do this, to drop in that Tim is from Boston. Yeah. And so, yes, we often use Tim's Boston accent when we refer to Tim.
Yeah.
Context.
Yeah, important.
Yes. And so Tim decided that he was going to root the sections that he had pruned off. And so he went and got rooting powder, and he got a plastic box that he put sand in the bottom, and he moistened the sand and dipped each of the cut off pieces, pruned pieces, into the rooting powder, put them in the box, sealed the top of it, and monitored them for 2 weeks, checking it to see the moisture content and making sure everything was the way it was supposed to be for them to root. They did not root.
Oh, no.
I know. But Tim is not a quitter. And so he dumped out all of the sand and did the entire process a second time. Again, maintaining it on the counter, checking it, making sure everything was just right. About 2 weeks later, no roots. It happened to be that we were having friends coming over for dinner that night. And I am fairly sure that you, as my co-host of the podcast, and our podcast listeners can identify with what transpired. I took everything that was on the kitchen counter and I took it out to the garage.
Yeah, 100%.
I just loaded it all up and stuck it in the garage. And so then more time passed, and all of a sudden we were out in the garage looking for something else for a project. And Tim saw the box and he's like, oh, I need to go and recycle that. I can't believe I never got rid of it. And he took the lid off the box.
Oh.
All three stalks had rooted.
Wow.
All three pruned pieces had rooted. And so when I was reflecting on this week's gospel for the podcast, that story immediately came to mind for me, because pruning is named several times within this scripture. And in one part of it, you know, the branches are thrown aside and then they ultimately dry out and are thrown into the fire. Mm-hmm. But there is a section earlier. It says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Which was Tim's intent, right? Like that he trimmed off these other pieces to make sure that the fig tree produced more figs.
Tim trim.
But the ones that were trimmed off, he didn't throw aside to wither and to die and then to get thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
And I love the invitation in that to think about things that are often cast aside as not necessarily being done. And that there is always that opportunity for something to change and for something to be revealed. Because I think that oftentimes that some people reflect on this scripture as the things that are pruned off are the people who aren't faithful enough, that aren't in right relationship with God, and that they are cast away. And yet I wonder if there's the opportunity to think about the fact that we are constantly being invited back into that relationship with God, and that things happen in the seasons in which they are supposed to happen. And that just because we have been separated, either because we have chosen separation or because we have been pruned from something, doesn't mean that we cannot be restored. And restoration doesn't necessarily mean that I got my hot glue gun out and went and took those pieces that Tim had pruned off and reattached them.
That would not probably work.
Correct.
I'm just guessing.
I mean, maybe it would, but in reality, like, look at what happened here instead. Look at the beautiful thing that happened when, for all intents and purposes, Tim had given up.
Right.
Right? Like,
laid them in a tomb.
Yes, it's a resurrection story, as in all things are.
Sounds like it.
All things are. But thinking about the fact that then instead of having one vine, like, is for the goodness and glory of God, instead we have these beautiful new little trees that now live in Massachusetts, by the way, because he mailed them to his sister Nancy to plant.
Oh, wow.
Which means that those fig trees will have a Boston accent, obviously. but that they were restored or born in a new way. I just love thinking about it that way, is that the pruning is necessary for the health of the plant in order to bear more fruit, naming that everything is about being in relationship and in the ultimate desire for goodness for everyone. Mm-hmm. And that that doesn't mean that we have to throw away the pieces that are pruned off. There is the possibility always for redemption. I believe that God longs and pursues us constantly throughout our lives and wants that right relationship with us, and that things get revealed within their season that lay within all of us. And maybe we aren't the fullness of ourselves at any one given time, and maybe we have broken places within us and things that need to be trimmed off, but that we are constantly being invited back into that. Mm-hmm. And that is my point. But I do have something delightful I want to share with you, too. Are you ready?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So as I was preparing and I was thinking about the word abide, I went to Merriam-Webster, as we know I love to do.
Yeah.
And one of the definitions for abide is, like, to put up with.
Sure.
Which I thought was hilarious in and of itself. But at the bottom of the dictionary references, there's always a did you know?
Oh.
Section,
yeah.
Which is filled with great things. This did you know says, the comments by users of this dictionary suggest that many people who are interested in the meaning of the word abide are motivated by one of two rather distinct things. The Bible, in which, for instance, Jesus calls upon his followers to abide in me, and the movie, The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, right. The Dude Abides.
In which Jeffrey Lebowski, a.k.a. The Dude, proclaims that the dude abides.
Yeah.
That's our reference for the week.
That's funny. I feel like the use of abide as to put up with is a very Southern thing, right? Like Southern vernacular.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something I will abide.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's very nice. Did you know? With Charlotte. I was struck by two things. Actually, it's kind of like the very beginning and the very end of the reading. When Jesus is talking about, I am the true vine, God removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Again, we're thinking about cosmic Jesus, right? Cosmic vine Jesus now, not cosmic shepherd Jesus. But similar to last week, like, all of these I am statements are so communal in nature. And that's because, like, the cosmic Christ that John is describing, going all the way back to in the beginning was the Word, that John is connecting Jesus' life to this, like, eternal thing that undergirds all of reality. Like, it's the thing from which all life came. It's like it imbues reality with spirit. It is the DNA of what is. I am the true vine, and you are the branches. I think we often think about the individuality of the branches and the individuality of the act of, like, some of the branches being pruned and some of them not. But Jesus seems to be coming at it like we are one living organism, you know, because that's what the vines are. Like, we look at them and we can see, like, the individuality of them. We can see the branches hanging off of the trestles and, like, the grapes hanging off the individual grapes. But, like, they're all connected to one long branch, right? Which is then all connected to one source. And so I like how Jesus kind of starts it off talking about God. God does this in me. God removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. So it starts off with the communal, like, oneness of the organism, and only then goes into, like, if you do not abide in me, like, you're going to wither up and die, you know? Because obviously, yeah, the pruning is super important for the life of the whole organism. And so it's cool to me that Jesus is thinking not just about the life of each individual branch, though those are important as well, but about the life, the communal life, the communal wellness of the whole thing. So that strikes me as important. And I do think that is so much to Jesus about like being connected to the source of life. And being connected to, again, to that cosmic reality that is beyond our seeing and knowing. It's this cosmic mystery of life and the cosmic mystery of how God moves and imbues the world with life and reality and love. And so Jesus, it's striking to me that at the end, Jesus says, God is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and then are my disciples. It's not that you become my disciples and then bear fruit. When I'm looking at the Greek, it's saying, in this, the Father, my Father, is glorified, that much fruit you should bear, and you shall be my disciples. Because of that, it feels like. And so I love the idea that it's not like, we think about discipleship as like belief-based, that we are disciples because we believe certain things to be true about Jesus. Jesus is kind of reversing it. Jesus is saying, discipleship is about the fruit that you bear in the world, the way that you provide nutrients to the world, the way that you feed the world around you. And that being able to bear fruit is not so much about what you believe to be true, but about the source to which you are connected. Are you connected to a source of life? Or are you pretending like you can live life disconnected from its source, you know? And to me, then, it's not so much like God's walking around looking for people that are sinning and cutting them off and throwing them in the fire of hell. It's more like when you cut yourself off from the source, from community, from the source of our lives, from a deeper source than your own, you're going to wither up and die. Mm-hmm. That's just true to me. So it's much more kind of this natural theology, this natural repercussion for believing ourselves to be individuals rather than connected to a larger organism. It's like if a branch decided, you know what? I could probably do this on my own. I'm just going to cut myself off from this vine and I'm going to grow my own grapes. You know, I don't need all these other branches around. Well, that vine's not going to do too well, you know? So I think it's so much about this communal reality and so much about the kind of things we do in the world, the fruit that we bear in the world, more than what we believe to be true or not true. And then it's much more than about what we are connected to, how we are connected to the source of life, to the source of the divine, to the thing that connects us all. And there are so many ways to be connected to that. So that's what I like about it.
I like that too. And while you were talking, I was thinking about what Hannah shared at the top of the podcast. Her God sighting was about being formed, but what she shared first about her ministry context was reflecting on their ministry at St. Mary's, started by Cindy Dodson, about making sandwiches. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about how that tied to your imagery of bearing fruit. Mm-hmm. Is the first step mm-hmm. to discipleship. Mm-hmm. And certainly that work that they are doing with their hands is representative of that. It's one aspect of what they do in that community. Mm-hmm. And I just love the beauty of that happening to tie into what we're talking about
yeah.
today.
Yeah. How are you feeding the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are our two points. Point number one was Charlotte's. It was about the dude. I'm pretty sure that's the last thing you said.
It was so about Tim was the and thing. The dude.
Yeah. Just about nothing being wasted in the life cycle, you know, in our spiritual life cycle. God never gives up on life. Mine is connected to the same idea that like when we connect then back to the source of life, the source that is never giving up on life, that's when we can thrive. We are disciples when we are bearing the fruit that Jesus hopes that we will bear in the world. Not just believing the thing about Jesus that we think is right, but connecting to the source. Being aware that our growth comes from a larger source than just our individuality and remembering we're part of a community. So having heard those two points, love to know what your point would have been if you'd been on the pod this week. Again, get in touch with us in all those ways. Listen in the description for this episode. We will be back next week to talk about Easter 6 in year B, the first Sunday in May. And until then, we say goodbye. Goodbye, bye, everybody.
And another one down, and another one down, another one bites the dust. Every week, it's in my head. Let's do it. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one down, and another one down, another one bites the dust. We actually have to record it in order for another one to bite the dust.
Okay.